The news and opinions of Dave Alexander should be discounted immediately. However, the opinions and ideas of Holly Bowers from Roofworks generally accepted to be A-OK. Welcome. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Holly Bowers is here to talk, at least for a couple of minutes, about some, you would think they're different subjects, but one kind of leads into the other. Do you want to talk about HOAs first?
Yeah, no, we just had a great conversation about that because I was talking about getting your wife on here on the next show to talk about just being on an HOA and what that's like on the other side.
Yeah, she is the president of our HOA, but it's a small community, and it's not the kind of HOA where they put away money for everybody's roof. It's not a townhouse community. Everybody's up for their own stuff, but we maintain the common areas.
In the streets?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, the street, the... you know, we drop a few dollars to the guy whose property is adjacent. He, you know, mows and trims and whatever. And, you know, kind of every now and then, there's got to be some enforcement action.
There does. And I commend her for doing that because it's a hard job. I mean, nobody gets paid to be on an HOA.
Right.
So they're doing it out of the goodness of their heart to help everyone in the community. And sometimes, you know, issues arise and questions are asked that people don't have good answers for. So just having the good support from your management companies and vendors that work in your communities is very important.
My problem is I want to put up a 40-foot antenna, and it's not in the covenants. In fact, it's forbidden in the covenants, and I could squeeze by with it, except my wife is the president of the HOA.
Exactly.
This would not be a good thing for her to have, but I still dream. But there are larger HOAs, and you deal with them.
We do all the time.
They're putting lots of money aside for big projects.
They are, and I mean, it depends. The big thing is when you're purchasing or looking to purchase a property, you need to check with your real estate agent, figure out who the HOA is, who's managing the HOA, what the covenants are out there, what you can and can't do. Because a lot of people go into it blindsided. They don't realize that they might have this particular project in mind to put a shed in the backyard, but it's not allowed, and that's something that's going to be determined before you purchase that home.
We had a situation when we moved into the other neighborhood where our first home, they mandated that every shed should resemble your home.
Yeah.
I had never even imagined that. But if you have a, you know, if you have, they all had vinyl, you know, clad homes. If you have a vinyl clad home, you're going to have a vinyl clad shed. Well, I guess that makes sense. But I just, it was brand new to me. And if a mailbox got knocked down, somebody replaced it with a non-standard mailbox, oh, they were in deep trouble. They got the covenants shoved right in their mailbox.
I know. But, you know, honestly, like I saw an article come through. I can't remember who posted it about HOAs. But as HOAs are not a negative thing. It's actually a really positive thing because if it's done right and managed correctly, it's there to protect the values of your homes to make sure that, you know, everything is staying the way that they're wanting that neighborhood to stay. And if you don't have that protection, you've got all sorts of things coming in and out, and it just ruins the conformity of it, which in turn is going to ruin the value of your home, and you don't want that.
We have two communities right next to each other, and ours is, you know, I would say an upscale community. It's not, you know, we're not the Howells or anything, but we paid attention to details. Over in the other one, there are boats all over the place. We demand that the boats be parked in the backyard, which is a minor thing, really, for everybody. If you've got a trailer, like for work, it's got to go in the backyard.
Yeah, it just keeps it off the street so there's room for parking. There's room for kids to ride their bikes up and down the road. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, those rules, they're there to help you. And just look at it from an optimistic standpoint to say it's not a negative. It's actually, it's a really positive thing. As long as everyone on the board are doing the right thing, making good decisions, and you have a good management company to back it up.
And occasionally you get calls from HOAs asking for a bid on the whole thing.
Yeah, we do. And that's, and it's so important to pick the right contractors, because it takes a long time, as we talked about before, to come up with these funds to do these massive improvement projects. And yeah, we've seen all sides of it, where you've got HOAs that are having to replace their roof many, many years before they should ever have to replace it because of poor workmanship, or just they picked the wrong contractor. And
yeah,
then they don't have the money to do the road improvements that they had allotted for, because they're having to put that into something that they weren't really, they shouldn't have had to. So there's so many things that go into play. And that's why, like I said, just getting the best advice from the right people that have been doing this, they know what they're doing, picking the right contractors, having the right people on the board, having the homeowners that live out there be understanding of how difficult it is to be on an HOA,
yeah,
and that these people are doing this, you know, for you and for charity. They're not getting paid for it, and that's just being respectful on all sides of it.
Yeah, when they start getting paid, that'll get out of control.
Yeah, because it's a hard job. I mean, I commend anyone that steps up to be on any kind of board, because
it's a
lot of time. It's a lot of headache if you have a lot of people, you know, you're bringing their stress and problems to you, and it's just something to be talked about.
I'm not even going to look at the computer screen that tells me who's waiting. I have line one blinking, which means that it's got to be Jim from Frog Hop. Jim, how are you?
Greetings from Frog Hop. How is everybody doing on this fine, brilliant Saturday?
We're good. Again, Jim, which county is Frog Hop?
It's on the border between Franklin County and Wake County.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right.
And whenever the frogs hear Her Highness's voice, they always ribbit in unison. So they love it. So God bless your soul, Alexander the Great. I'm a member of an HOA, too. And
yes,
Holly won the bid a few years ago to get our roofs replaced on our street. Thank goodness it wasn't a competition on the other street. And they recently run the bid to get to replace our chimney cast, which I was just so relieved on, you know, getting them and everything. So the thing that I listened to her talk 2 weeks ago about taking her employees out to bowling and everything. And I just thought that was so nice and everything. And I just wanted to tell Your Highness, I just thought that was really thoughtful and it was time well spent. So.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's hard to get all of us together just because, you know, obviously we're all working out there helping customers all the time. But we really are trying to have our team building events and get us together. Every Christmas is a big deal for us because we bring all the employees and their families. And it's just, those are special moments for all of us, for sure.
Right. And also I saw the teamwork. Alexander the Great, when they replaced our roof, and it was like one big happy family. And when they got done, I didn't see any nails. I couldn't find anything. And they did just an excellent job on our roof. And if you look at the competition on the next street over, I don't even want to mention it, Holly.
Well, and Jim, I know you being on the board is, I mean, you can talk a lot about that comes with you guys having to make these kind of decisions for these particular projects. So if you could give any advice to anybody else that's, you know, on an HOA from your side of it, what advice would that be?
Well, what I would do is that the advice that I give is that when you spell the board of directors, spell it B-O-A-R-D and not B-O-R-E-D.
Yes. that everything should be boring.
Don't. You know what? We're all human beings. We're all neighbors. We all know what we all go through and everything. And, you know, we've got rules to live by. And you have to, you know, whether it be driving on the road or living in a house or anything, HOAs have good points and they have bad points and everything. But still, we have to realize that we're all neighbors, you know, and we're always looking for the upkeep of, you know, of our community and everything. So that's the main thing. So the question that I've got, the neighbors always ask me. They listen, but they never call. I'm the caller for them. Holly, when they when you do, we had a complete Alexander the Great. They redid our siding, they did our gutters, and they did our roofs.
Yeah.
The question that I've got from our neighbors is that I've had one thing and a half a dozen of another. Should you put your roof on first? I've heard, and some of the people were telling me that if the siding's done, the roofing should be done second, so that way the roof's tight. Is that a falsity or just? What is that, Holly?
Well, I mean, we prefer to start at the top and work your way down. The only thing that you have to be careful about if they're doing siding after the roofing is that they're not using tow boards and nailing into those shingles to access that roof on those upper walls that are on the roof system. So as long as you have a good contractor that knows what they're doing and they're not damaging the new roof that you just installed, siding is better to go on afterwards because essentially, if you're going to do the roof replacement right, you want to replace all the flashing first on the roof, which in turn is going to compromise some of that siding, the old siding that's there, if it's you know, got water saturation. Or what we see a lot of times is the siding wasn't installed properly in the first place, so it's actually touching the shingle and it's not giving us enough room to get that flashing up underneath that wall. So, and that's why it's always good to have the roof done first, because then we can get all of our flashing in there. If any areas need to be fixed or replaced because they're rotten or deteriorated or the flashing was too close to the shingles, you can go ahead and fix all that after the fact.
Great. And Alexander the Great, I already had my chimney cap replaced a few years ago. Roberto?
Yeah.
You know Roberto?
No, I don't know Roberto.
Holly?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Roberto's awesome.
Yeah, he's wonderful and everything. And again, the competition replaced the chimney caps on either side of my townhouse. They didn't do nearly the job. And people commented who did yours? And I said, Roofworks did it. Better than the competition on either side and everything. So, but thank you, and thank you for your time. And I hope, Your Highness, I hope you can take your daughter out for a walk on this great day. And Alexander the Great, you have a great weekend, everybody. And y'all come to Frog Hop when you get a chance, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Jim. Jim from Frog Hop. Corner of Franklin and Wake. You know, it's in that area. Thank you, Jim. This is Making Your Home Great. Holly Bowers and I are going to talk about scams coming up next on FM 92.9 AM 680 WPTF.
Thank you for listening to Making Your Home Great. If you have a question for any of our experts on the show today, call us at 919-860-9783. Now, back to Dave.
Holly Bowers of Roofworks is here. We're going to talk about scams. This is a scam alert. You know of specific scams that are going on right now in this area that involve real estate.
Yeah, I mean, I just had, because obviously I've been a broker since 2006, so I got to take my annual update classes every year, and it was a big topic of discussion.
Yeah.
In our update class, I took a couple weeks ago, and it's the scams coming through. I think, especially for apartments, the leasing agents are seeing a lot of it. That was a big talk that, you know, AI and people filling out falsified applications, sending in falsified documentation, showing that they're real people, real pay stubs, real everything, and it's actually not. So I knew it was going to come up at some point. I know they've done a pretty good job of having some update courses that I've seen. But real estate, they're dealing with the same thing that we are on our side of the industry. And we talk about it because it needs to be talked about, because the more we talk about it, the more we bring it to light, the more it's going to help protect everyone. Squatters, home titles being stolen. There's just so much going on. It's sad, but that's just the reality, and we just need to bring it to light so that more things can be done to help protect everyone.
And is it the fact that people are taking out these applications for apartments?
Yeah. They're
And then what? Not living there and renting it to, you know,
and
19 guys.
You know, it's just so many different scenarios that keep coming up, and that's where technology, cybersecurity. There's, I mean, so much on the underground that needs to be protected that we didn't have to worry about 10, 20 years ago. But with all the advancements in technology, some are good, but some are not good, and that's, like I said, I'm talking about it just to bring it to everyone's attention that you always just need to be prepared for something that you're not expecting. Expect the unexpected.
Department of Motor Vehicles will never email you I should mention this every week.
You see texts, everything coming through. I mean, it's a monstrosity of a problem across the board in every industry.
And if you get a phone call and you don't know who it's from, don't take it. But if you do talk to them, do not say the word yes in your conversation. Because they'll take that word as permission to drain you of funds. I mean, it's just so bizarre and so sad.
It is so sad. And I know, you know, the thing I worry about most is just the older people. I mean, obviously mm-hmm. I got my grandma, and they didn't grow up with technology. And that's the people that are getting taken advantage of. And it bothers me to the core of my soul to know that there's people out here doing things to people to hurt them. And it's mm-hmm. not okay. It'll never be okay. But you just need to know what's out here. And like I said, we talk about it in our industry. We deal with it. I mean, there's a case that I just saw come up that you've got a contractor that was taking money to cash pay, you know, cash check places. And all that money was underground. Nobody saw it. And now they got popped for it. And it was millions and millions of dollars paying people under the table, trying not to claim that money from roof jobs. And like, you know, they got what was coming to them. But you can't trust people because you think that they're legit, but they're not always legit. That's the truth.
All right. And how do we know a legit roofing company? Well, I think I know one, but how would we know?
That's the problem. Is it's hard nowadays to tell. I mean, people are starting up companies and they're, you know, staying open for a year or two, and then they're switching the name to another company. And it's making good judgment first and foremost, but doing your homework.
Right.
Check it out. Check out their reviews and make sure that you're going with people that you can trust. Because just because they're nice doesn't always mean you can trust them. And that's a fact.
Yeah. They wouldn't be successful as scammers if they couldn't put a bold face forward.
Yeah.
Friendly face.
And most of them know how to manipulate the system. And that's their con artist. That's what they do for a living.
There are also situations where they will manipulate both the homeowner and the insurance company on an insurance claim.
Yeah,
You know, suddenly there's all these add-ons that come with the project, or the check gets written. Now, this is I used to work in that space for a good 6 months, so I know all about this. The check from an insurance company, is it typically written to the homeowner and the contractor?
Not in most case scenarios, but we've had people that have asked us to get them an estimate for a roof and like knowingly that they're going to not use that money to put a roof on. There's absolutely no way that we're ever going to be involved in a situation like that.
Yeah.
But it's homeowners are just as guilty as the contractors out there doing it. So it's a little bit of everybody doing this, and that's the problem too.
Insurance companies, beware. They know.
Yeah, they do. And the homeowners know. They know if they're the ones that are, you know, trying to push this case through and it's not really legit. And
right.
you're as guilty as the contractor doing it if you're a part of that.
And we're not talking hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Oh, it's
statewide.
It's billions and billions in the industry wide that they're fighting fraud right now. It's way beyond millions. It's billions.
And this is why
it's a real problem.
And this is why the insurance is so high.
Yeah, because they've got to get their money back, and they're going to, and everybody's going to pay the price for it, unfortunately.
And just on behalf of, you know, RoofWorks, I checked the forecast. Yes, we do have thunderstorms in the possibility, but it's only a 30%. The other day, we had a prediction of high winds, thunderstorms, falling pieces of concrete.
I saw that just
everything. Marbles coming from the sky. This sort of strange thing. But when that does happen, you do want to pick the phone up and call RoofWorks.
Oh, of course. I mean, if you have legitimate damage, that's what we're here for. We're going to help you through it, give you the best advice, and tell you what you need to do. But if you don't, we're not going to partake in it.
It is entirely possible for 601 Maple Street to qualify for a new roof, and 602 does not.
Yeah, I mean, it could happen. It comes down to the damage, your insurance company, and that's it's all over the place right now. It's not, there's no conformity to it, and that's where the changes need to happen.
Right. Holly Bowers from RoofWorks is here. We are live on the radio with Making Your Home Great on WPTF, FM 92.9, AM 680, WPTF.
This is Making Your Home Great on WPTF FM 92.9, AM 680, and WPTF.com. Remember, if you missed any of the portions of today's show, we archive all of our shows as podcasts available wherever you get your podcasts and on demand always at WPTF.com. Now back to our host, Dave Alexander.
And my co-host, Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier, and our very special guest, Holly Bowers from RoofWorks. How you doing, Brock?
I'm doing okay. How are you guys doing this morning?
Yeah, that's great. We got somebody new on the show second hour, right?
That's what I'm being told. Yes, it's Richard Norheim with Advanced Renovations.
Ooh.
He's going to be new on the show today.
That's good. That's good. So, Holly, we talked about the negatives, right? We talked about scams that are going on. And I didn't realize, or Brock supported me, will probably support me on this. It's not just scams for the customer, to the people like me, street level folks. Company owners.
Oh, yeah.
Or businesses are being scammed all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, is it's simpler or more complex than the Norwegian prince?
They're always looking for new and innovative ways to take advantage of anybody, whether it be a company or a homeowner.
Yeah.
Luckily, nowadays the scams on companies are a little bit more predictable.
Yeah.
10 years ago, some of the scams that came out, people, for an example, we would have somebody reach out to our company via text.
Yeah,
and they would always say the same thing. They were sick and in the hospital and wanted us to go, inspect a property of theirs, gave us the address. And in the beginning, we didn't know to verify home ownership. We just take the person's word that this is, in fact, their home.
Yeah.
Luckily, it didn't catch us. We figured it out at the very first site. There was another crew that was there doing work. The house was vacant. And what these scammers will do is say, I'm out of state. I just purchased this property. I'm in the hospital, so I can't make any phone calls, but I can communicate via text. It's a big thing. But they try to get you to go out there and agree to do a job, and they'll quote unquote pay you more than your contract amount and ask you to give them money back. Now, luckily, the first time we heard that, we were like, what? No. We're not doing that. That's no, we're not going to do that. But apparently it's worked enough that other business owners got scammed by it.
Yeah, I mean, we get those emails all the time. They come through every week.
Yeah, and it's always the same, isn't it?
Oh,
I'm sick.
Same.
I can't talk with you. It's got to be, via text. It's like, you guys need a new one. This is predictable at this point.
And if computers are setting it up, if there's a computer somewhere sending all these texts, even if they just get one 0.1% of all of that.
Right.
They get somebody for 20 grand. That's the way it goes.
Well, and I tell you what, after I think it was the second time that we got, and now luckily the first time we kind of figured out it was a scam. We were like, we're not interested. Go somewhere else.
Right.
The second go around, we tested the waters a little bit. We knew in the beginning it was a scam. And we didn't even inspect the property.
No.
We just sent him a message that says, we looked at it. It'll be $28,000, which is just astronomically more than it would ever cost. And sure enough, the immediate response was, no problem. Go ahead and write it up. And we were like, that is so many red flags right here.
You don't charge
$4,200 worth of work will do for 30 grand. They're like, yep, no problem. I'll sign right there. It's like, no.
That's great. That's great. Well, you barely, for a home, you barely, for a completed job, the whole thing, soup to nuts, you barely charge that much.
No.
I
don't think I've ever done a crawl space ever that got over 20K. I think the biggest one we ever did was probably a 4,000 square foot ranch house.
Yeah.
That was in that 16 to 18 range. And that's a pretty high contract for a crawl space, but it was a lot of room.
Right. Holly Bowers from RoofWorks. How are things at RoofWorks?
They're good.
Good?
They're definitely good. Yeah, we're working. I'm excited because we're working with Brock on an installation job. So the it's going to be fun to see our guys learn more about that side of it. And
oh, this is a, so this is what kind of work? I mean,
it's attic insulation.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Specifically, this one will be an open cell spray foam job for one of RoofWorks clients and homeowners.
It's, yeah.
So we're excited to get in there and you know, make the kind of impact I know it's going to make. The homeowners are just going to be over the moon happy with the results.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely looking forward to that.
When you say open cell, what does that mean?
Well, there's open cell foam and there's closed cell foam. For the listeners out there, it's pretty easy to remember the difference between the two. Open cell is open. It's permeable. It breathes. It doesn't trap moisture or cause condensation issues. That's typically the type of insulation you want to do in an attic in North Carolina. So we're not trapping any humidity or anything like that. Closed cell is the opposite. It's closed. It's non-permeable. Mm-hmm. And that's normally what we seal crawl spaces with because you don't want moisture and humidity passing through that.
Yes.
So we're doing an open cell foam for this client in their attic space to help drop their utility costs and make the house a lot more comfortable coming up into the summer.
That's cool. All right. Are they getting a roof at the same time?
Yeah, we've already done the roof. So this is, you know, part two behind that. And I think, Brock, to talk about the closed cell, how often and do you recommend closed cell insulation installations for attics? Because then you can't vent the roof, is my understanding.
Correct.
And there's no moisture airflow that can come through, or it could compromise it.
Yeah,
so when is it good and when is it not good?
In North Carolina, it's really not good.
Yeah.
Now, if it's a metal building, if there's a, you know, like, the, for example, the metal building at RoofWorks, that was a closed cell foam, okay? In direct contact with metal, there can be a lot of moisture built up. And when you have an open cell foam, you don't want any condensation that's working its way through to build between the metal and the foam. So if it's a metal application, we normally recommend going with a closed cell foam.
Okay.
If it's a wood roof deck, trusses, that kind of stuff, open cell all day.
Yeah, because I know, we've run into it where there's closed cell applications and it's just didn't appear to be a good situation all the way around. One was new construction. It was built like that, but then the whole roof deck rotted.
Yeah.
And it was, they didn't have any idea until they started having problems. And
Holly, why did it rot?
So with a closed cell foam, because it's non-permeable, let's say, for example, you develop a roof leak. It happens, doesn't it, Holly?
It does.
So you develop a roof leak. That water can't go through closed cell foam.
Okay.
So it's going to go through the shingles. It's going to go through the felt. It's going to work its way into the roof deck. And once it hits the roof deck, it has nowhere to go. So what happens? Your roof deck's made of wood.
Yeah.
You pour a bunch of water on wood, it's going to absorb it. And if you don't have any of that water coming into the attic, you're unaware you have a problem till you go to try to walk across your roof deck and you put a boot through the roof because it's all rotted out.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you where the hiccup comes. Closed cell foam has a higher R rating than open cell. Mm-hmm. Okay, so per square inch, you get a higher R value with a closed cell.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's say you're building a house or you're renovating your attic and converting it into living space.
Yeah.
Most of the roofs are framed in with 2x8s. Now, mm-hmm. the newer homes are 2x10s, but the majority of them are 2x8s.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's 7.5 inches if you put a tape measure to it, is what a 2x8 actually measures out to.
Yeah.
So if you want to convert your attic to living space, the code in North Carolina is R30. You have to have an R30 foam. Well, with open cell, that's 8.25 inches of depth. With a closed cell, it's 5.5. So a lot of these builders or not overly trustworthy insulation companies will come in and say, oh, I can foam seal your attic and you don't have to fur out any of your rafters. Yeah. We can hit the code at 5.5 inches of depth and you won't know you have a problem till about 15 years from now when you start rotting out your roof deck and developing moisture issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
We tell people straight up, you need an open cell, which means we need to fur out all your rafters an additional inch to avoid long-term damaging effects down the road. And it's going to be a little bit more expensive to do that, but we're not going to destroy your house in the process.
Yeah, and that's why I'm bringing it up, because I do know closed sale applications were pretty popular several years ago, and mm-hmm. now they're starting to surface, and there's a lot of issues coming with that. So I wanted Brock to talk about the difference between the two, so these homeowners understand what's good and what's not good in this area with all this humidity.
Yeah.
Because closed sale is not, it's really, yeah. there's very little situations that it is a good application.
Okay. Just to review what I already know, but let's just say it again. If you're putting a roof on, you must take it down to the boards. You must take it all. You got to take the roof off. You got to clear it completely and take a look at the roof deck.
That's right, because if you're not taking shingles and the underlayment off, you can't even see the roof deck. And sometimes the problem with this, too, is if you've got like stains or a little bit of rot on the underside, mm-hmm. it's mm-hmm. in the attic, you can't see that from the roof side. So if the guys aren't replacing that sheet, it's not necessarily because they did it intentionally. It's because they couldn't see that there was problems if someone's not going in the attic to do a good attic inspection. And that's where you got to get everything torn off. You got to check the attic and you got to check the roof deck just to make sure that you're good on both sides of it.
It's like changing the linens on your bed, but never changing the elastic sheet. Just leaving the elastic sheet on all the time and only ever changing the top sheet and the comforter. You don't know what the mattress looks like. You need to bring it all the way down to the mattress, just like with a roof. You bring it all the way down to the deck so you can uncover any problems.
That's right. And
you don't like my analogy, do you, Dave?
Well, I'm just thinking.
I used to say it's like an O-ring.
Dave wants
on
a nap.
Toilet.
When I was a young guy, I never changed the sheets.
Unfortunately, I'm there with you. I think most guys figured out how to change sheets in college normally.
Yeah, but what do you do? You ask for sheets at Christmas.
That's right.
Yeah, and sometimes, just to clarify, sometimes, you know, if you run into a roof replacement and they've had leaks in the past, but it's just water stains, that doesn't necessarily probe to be a rotted piece of plywood, that doesn't need to be replaced. It's just a stain on there that was rectified. But some homeowners look at that and they're like, well, you didn't replace that. And it's like, we didn't need to charge you because the wood's still in really good shape. It's just a water spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Water spot's not a big deal. Prolonged moisture in that wood is a problem.
That's
just
right.
A little bit of a leak that you guys were able to correct pretty quickly shouldn't have caused enough damage to replace the wood.
Right, and we don't want to charge you the extra money if it's not necessary.
Okay. The program is called Making Your Home Great. Holly Bowers from Roofworks is here, and Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier. We're on FM 92.9 AM 680 WPTF.
Thank you for listening to Making Your Home Great. If you have a question for any of our experts on the show today, call us at 919-860-9783. Now, back to Dave.
Yeah.
Making Your Home Great on WPTF. I had to be woken up. The talk of sheets,
the sheets
just put me to sleep.
Too much, too much.
All right. We are with Holly Bowers of Roofworks and Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier. And we've been talking about a project you're both involved in. But let's get back to just roofing for a moment. You kind of steer some customers towards CertainTeed because it's a local company.
Yeah, I mean, we have all the options. So it's not really steering them one way or the other. But when they're asking us what we recommend the most, and here's why we recommend CertainTeed, that's really what helps them have a deeper understanding as to why, you know, we believe CertainTeed is the best shingle on the market. But we sell everything.
Right.
I was just running through a product sheet that I'm working on right now. I mean, there's so many options out there. I was running through it from Owens Corning, GAF, CertainTeed, all the tile, all the slate, all the cedar, synthetics, all the low slope applications, coating applications, and there's tons and tons and tons of manufacturers out there.
Right.
So that's where you just have to know what the products are, what the homeowner is looking for, and be able to divert them in the right direction. That's going to give them some good examples, some good options, and then they can choose what they feel is best.
And you are not nameless and faceless to either CertainTeed or the other manufacturers.
No, I mean, to me, I think it's become too political from a manufacturer side because, again, it's a consumer's home. It's a consumer's choice.
Yeah.
There are certain products that look better with certain architectural designs, And it should be up to the consumer to decide what is best. It shouldn't be about the politics of it all.
Right.
And that's the part that drives me crazy, because it's become about that when really this is these people's homes. It's their money, their assets, their investments. And if this product looks better on that and it's going to work better for that particular piece of property,
right,
then they should be able to get that, and they should be able to get a great warranty. And that's really the root of all of this. It's not our money or the manufacturer's money to decide what's going to work best for this homeowner. It's the homeowner's money,
right,
their piece of property, their investment. And we got to get back to that, because that's what's important.
And CertainTeed is a fairly heavy product, so it's better naturally.
Yeah, it's definitely a heavier shingle. It's,
right.
They have great warranties, and they're local. I mean, that's a big part of it. When there is a problem, they're close by to help.
Right.
We're supporting our local community, but it's not to say if there's a product that they like the color fleck better on this other, say, Owens Corning, you know, board.
Yeah.
They need to get that, because that's going to be a better look and better feel for what their situation is.
And you've got a showroom to show these
things
off.
We do, and that's exactly why we wanted it, because there are so many options. There's hundreds of options out there to pick from, hundreds of styles and different colors and different installations and warranties. It's overwhelming. It really is. And if you don't have someone that's educating you on all these different things, and here's why you might want to go with the good, better, best, the better of the best options, because
right,
this is what this is going to give you, then you can't really make a good conscious decision to select the right one that's going to work best for you and your family, or you and your business, you know, ownership.
And warranties. Now, we've talked casually that a roof ought to last X number of years. I mean, I'm getting more than the warranty out of it. I should, anyway.
You should. And that's in a lot of it, you know. The warranty is very important, because anything can go wrong.
Yeah.
You know, anything can go wrong with that product that's being made in distribution that the contractors have no control about.
Right.
If you have a product that fails, which has happened in the past, you want to make sure you're covered, because you don't want that surprise 5 years in that your roof is failing because the product failed.
Right.
And that's why you want to get that backing from the manufacturer, so that they'll cover the replacement on that.
Did you mention to me that some manufacturers put numbers on the actual shingle to identify when it came off the factory?
Oh, yeah, and that's important for them, because they need to know if they have a batch that went bad, just so that they can do a recall on it. And that's probably for any product. You see recalls coming through for cars all the time. And
right,
things, your mistakes are going to happen. That's just the fact.
I remember a story about 8 years ago. I went to a job site to inspect the crawl space. It was a new construction.
Yeah.
There was a new team that was on the job site that was installing shingles.
Mm-hmm.
The shingles were supplied to them by the builder. So the builder basically hired the roofer out for their labor and supplied all of the material.
Yeah.
And while I was out there, and I kind of kept this to myself, but while I was out there, you know, I'm leaning up against the stack of shingles, and I realized that they were nearly 9 years old. I don't know where
really?
He had these shingles stockpiled, but the dates and the numbers that were I was reading off of these things had been in storage for nearly a decade, and now they're putting them on a brand new house.
Yeah.
That's the first time I've ever seen that. But again, that's why it's pretty important to have a company you're working with that has a very good reputation and don't make those kind of decisions.
I'm hoping that RoofWorks only puts up fresh roofing materials.
Well, and like Brock said, if it's sitting in distribution and no one's checking it, we don't, you know, you don't really know till it gets out there and you see the date stamp on it, and things happen all the time. And that's why I said it's every product. It's low slope products fail, coatings fail. There's so many different products that have had issues in the past, and it's just
defects of material warranty.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And if you're putting a product on a system that isn't the right product on the right system, you're going to have failure there. So
right. There's
just it's a lot of education, a lot of learning, a lot of understanding, you know, what application you're actually installing.
To put up a roof and have the warranty right, it has to be installed by what, some certified?
Yeah, I mean, all the manufacturers have, in order, if you're, you know, looking at their highest class of warranty packages,
right,
they have certain procedures that, you have to go by the book. You've got to install it the way they want it in order for them to stand behind it.
The underlayment must be what they require.
And I mean, certain, like CertainTeed, you've got to put a number amount of CertainTeed components on that roof system, not just the shingle, but the, all the accessories that go with it in order for that to qualify, which is really important, too. You don't want to put a CertainTeed shingle on a roof and then cap it with a Owens Corning or GAF ridge cap. That doesn't make any sense to do that.
Right.
Because the shingles might be warranted, but then that ridge cap's not going to be.
And if somebody has excessive heat in their attic area, you know, Brock might be the first person they call. But you've noticed, at least in one occasion, that the, am I correct, the ridge cap?
Ridge vent.
Ridge vent wasn't cut.
Yeah. Was installed. The ridge vent had been installed on the house, but whoever put it in originally didn't actually cut in the ridge vent. So it looked like it had outtake ventilation from the street.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a 75, 76 degree day, and I crawled up in that attic, and it was 90.
Yeah.
I was like, nope, something's wrong here. And I started looking around. They got plenty of baffles. Their insulation's up to my hip. They're not having a problem with insulation. Look straight up, and it's like, oh, there's no ridge vent. So there's no way for the heat in the attic to get out. It just stores. And let me tell you something, that'll void your roof warranty.
Yeah, it will. And we've ran into that. I mean, we went out to a property. It was quite a few years ago, but they had the same thing. They had ridge vent and ridge cap, but it was a roof truss system.
Yeah,
and that you couldn't cut the ridge because you had the beams there running across the ridge line for support. And I'm like, this is not, you have no ventilation at all, and it was piping hot in there. They were having problems with mold and all sorts of things. But it was just the design of how that was really constructed that they weren't even aware of that situation.
You had to somehow talk them into getting some ventilation
fans,
in there.
They had to definitely come up with option two on that.
And Brock's going to tell you, go with solar and have RoofWorks put it up because
if you have to go with solar, yes, you do want a roofing company to have that installed. In most cases, they have to cut a hole. Well, if you're cutting a hole in your roof, it's a pretty good idea to have a roofer do it.
Yes.
These guys flash it in. They warranty it from leaks long term, so I'm a big fan of the ridge vent. If you have a ridge vent, gable vents, soffit vents, good airflow. Most of the time, a powered fan is not necessary. But if you don't have that option, I do recommend a solar attic fan, and we will have a roofing company come out and have it installed.
And you're also doing skylights.
Yep.
And sky tunnels.
Sun tunnels and sun skylights.
Tunnels. I'm never going to remember that. Okay, and one just provides some light through tubes, and it lights some areas that, you know, ordinarily are dark.
Yes, sun tunnels are good for areas that you can't really put a skylight. Skylights are always going to be the best natural daylight, but there's some situations that you just can't do it or it doesn't make sense.
All right, Holly Bowers from RoofWorks. Thank you very much. What's the contact information?
Okay, you can call us at 919-852-2660 or visit us on the web at roofwerks.com.
And Richard Norheim from Enhanced Renovations is going to be on the show in just a few seconds. This is Making Your Home Great, FM 92.9, AM 680, WPTF. It is a two-hour show. Making Your Home Great starts at 11 every Saturday. We're also on the web. You can listen live if you are not near an AM radio or the FM 92.9 area. And you can catch everything archived at WPTF.com. Richard Norheim of Advanced Restorations.
Enhanced,
first things first, it does have an S at the end.
Enhanced Renovations.
Yes.
Oh, did I say restorations? I'm sorry. Enhanced. Here I was worried about the S at the end. Enhanced Renovations.
Correct.
So you renovate.
We do. We're predominantly a remodeling company located in Fuquay and Holly Springs.
Yeah.
Serving pretty much the triangle.
Now, you were talking in the commercial break. You were doing attic renovations, kitchen, bathroom remodels, kind of abroad across the board. Give me an example of some of the smaller jobs you guys take on, and then an example of some of the bigger jobs that you guys take on.
Smaller projects might be customizing a bathroom, an existing bathroom.
Okay.
From there, we probably step up to kitchen remodeling. A lot of folks nowadays updating their dated kitchens. So many of the homes here are from the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
New countertops, backsplashes, things like that. Of course, it only makes sense to go for new cabinetry at the same time, and we're seeing walls being opened because the structures that were created back in those times kind of made rooms feel a little bit smaller.
Mm-hmm.
So we're opening up kitchens to dining rooms, really making a huge difference to these homes. I mean, it's amazing what something so seemingly insignificant can make a huge impact to the space.
And people don't realize the space they're not using until, you know, they sit down and think about it. Say, wait a minute, I haven't sat on that couch in 6 months. Let's make it something else. No, my daughter just did this. She had her fancy living room nobody used, and they knocked out part of a wall and opened up another doorway. They've made what was a small kitchen and a useless living room into this whole big kitchen.
Yep.
I mean, if we're going to stay in houses that have tiny kitchens, we're going to want to bust out a wall, don't we?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the kitchen is where families congregate.
Right.
We had done a project very similar to this where we opened up the wall.
Yeah.
The young lady really had like 23 people come to a house for the holidays. And they celebrated Thanksgiving and Christmas. And you always had to go around the corner, or everybody had to eat in different spaces. So we opened up this 14-foot wall and redid her kitchen. And, I mean, the house, it just changed the entire feel for the whole place and makes so much of a difference for those major functions. You're making memories with your family.
You're
and it's
right.
one of those spaces.
Yeah, we were in a house where the living room was really small and narrow.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't even have our church friends over. I mean, we couldn't house the circle group, the elderly adults group in it, because we couldn't sit seven people in the living room.
Right.
Got to bust down a wall.
Well, that's why additions and attic renovations have become so popular. I mean, I know they've been around for many years, but really in the last decade, 15 years-ish, there's been a pretty large uptick. I mean, just the amount of customers that reach out to us specifically to come insulate because they're about to install drywall and they're doing a full attic conversion. And then just that can change the entire feel of a house.
Right.
Putting an addition on the back of the house to expand the size of the living room and the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you do a project like that, you're worried about subbing. You're worried about the electrician, the framer, the roofer, the plumber, the flooring guy, the drywall guy, the insulation guy. I mean, I can go down the list of all the different contractors that are involved. So do you want to take that on yourself?
No.
Or would you like to reach out to somebody like this who can take on the full project for you? Is that kind of how you guys work?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, we bring everybody to the table.
My bet is when you need an electrician, you can get an electrician pretty quickly.
We have a great rapport with the folks that we work with.
Yes.
I mean, it's taken a long time to actually weed through some of those that...
Tell me about it.
We're not as diligent as showing up and knowing how to use a telephone to let us know that they were coming or not coming.
One in 20, you can get somebody you can trust,
Yeah, well, we've certainly gone through the gambit, but we have a fantastic group of folks that work almost exclusively with us because of the relationship that we've created.
Mm-hmm.
So we can minimize the timeline on a project and really choke it down to be able to keep everybody back-to-back. Minimize any loss of time in between different facets of the project, if you will.
Amen.
And let me tell you something. When you're quote-unquote GCing your own project, getting the plumber, the electrician, the drywall guy, the painter, the insulation guy, all in order and seamlessly is nearly impossible.
It's a horror show.
Whatever project you think is going to take a month, it's not.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You... having somebody who does all the coordination, sets them up when they're supposed to be there. I need this done by this day because this is coming in tomorrow.
Right.
It moves the project along much quicker. And if you're doing a renovation on your home, do you want to stay in a hotel that much longer? Do you want to have half your house blocked off that much longer? Do you want to get this thing knocked out and get done?
Yeah. My daughter's family is so happy that they, number one, have a kitchen. Number two, they can walk on the floor without wearing socks because, you know, for a while there, they'd done the hardwoods. Mm-hmm. And the kids are like, where'd the plastic go? Where did they go with
part
the plastic?
Of life. Yeah.
Say, we ripped it down. We don't need it anymore. So tell me about bathrooms and you listed that as a smaller job. I'm assuming that's relatively smaller as opposed to full house restoration or renovation.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's kind of like, well, it's in the middle of the home or it's on the second floor of the home. Mm-hmm. So we've obviously got to concern ourselves with getting all the way up there. But it's a small environment. And and the issue with bathrooms is that they're all encompassing. Mm-hmm. So you've got, with the permit, the electrician, mm-hmm. the plumber, mm-hmm. the tile people, the cabinet setters, if you will, the drywall people, the painting, mm-hmm. it just goes on, and everybody's got to be well coordinated to get in and out of that, as well as being able to do this while people 99% of the time are living in the home. So we're diligent about trying to keep the mess down and clean up every day, and you know, we respect the residents as much as we can. If we need air filtration or whatever's required to take care of that environment.
But that bathroom is closed for a while.
A little period of time.
Mm-hmm. For a period of time. And how long does that sort of thing take?
Depending upon how involved we get. I mean, we've done major conversions in bathrooms before.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're going to just replace what's in existence in its own space, it's relatively quick. But for the most part, we're seeing full renovations where people are actually moving things around and taking showers out and taking garden tubs out and putting showers in.
Yes.
You see a lot of these acrylic 4-foot by 4-foot obscure windows by a tub that nobody's using anymore because nobody's doing the jacuzzi tubs. Yeah. That comes out and that becomes a beautiful shower. But what we also have to do is take that window out.
Yeah.
Because we don't want any water getting into what's known as the wet area. So anything up to roughly 6 feet, we want to make sure that that's wall. We'll replace that window, if you will, with a transom or an awning window.
Yeah,
so you've got light and you can open it up.
Right.
I mean, you're going to tile it over, but nobody wants a big window next to the shower. I'm just telling you.
Not at my age, no.
No. Yeah. I mean, the neighbors don't want it.
Nope.
But a lot of people have those very small windows up above the tub just to give us some air.
Yep. Could be an awning window that can open and allow air in. And obviously you got a clear view as well, but you've also maintained the privacy because it's technically up and out of the way.
Are you doing a lot of these rip out fiberglass tubs and full tile showers? I found that almost nobody wants one of these fiberglass tubs anymore. They'd rather just have a floor to ceiling shower.
They're going that way. Yeah. Tile bases. What you're seeing now, a lot of people in their homes, because they're anticipating staying there, is considering the zero entry or the curbless shower.
I like that. If it's done right, it's great. If it's not done right, it's not great. So finding somebody that knows how to do a good zero entry, and I'm a huge fan of the zero entry showers.
Yeah.
Especially since I probably trip 3 times from the parking lot getting up here. So zero entry works for me.
All right, we're going to pick this up in just a moment. Richard Nordheim of Enhanced Renovations. I said a different word before. Forget that different word. Enhanced Renovations on Making Your Home Great, FM 92.9, AM 680, WPTF.
Thank you for listening to Making Your Home Great. If you have a question for any of our experts on the show today, call us at 919-860-9783. Now, back to Dave.
We want some questions for Richard Nordheim with Advanced Renovations. Now, tell me about the the work that you do that's big. I mean, huge projects.
Whole home remodels with additions.
Take it right to the studs?
Well, we're not. We're predominantly working within the confines of the existing home currently.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, we could certainly build a brand new house if you'd like to, but for the most part, the clientele that we seem to be working with, again, might want to be doing the kitchen, which involves opening a wall, which involves now getting involved in the whole downstairs. You know, an attic project, of course, encompasses going through the entire house and getting the materials up there to be able to do that.
Not easy.
Yeah,
not
no, easy it's do. Not. I mean, getting drywall to the second floor. Sounds like a mean task.
Third floor? It can be challenging. Yeah. It can be quite challenging. You know, in certain instances when you can't boom anything in, you have to have people literally carry those boards up.
Yeah.
And if they are 8-foot boards versus 12-foot boards, you've got more tape joints. You've got more spackle and tape work. And, you know, everything comes with a price.
Well, and another good argument to be made on why you would want somebody like Richard to take on a project like this. We've all done projects in the past, but picture you're subbing out all of your own people. You're bringing your own electrician, your own drywall guy, and so forth. And then there's scuffs on the walls, and there's a little bit of damage to the floor at the top of the landing. And now well, who did this? Oh, it wasn't me. It was so-and-so, or I did. And now you're that middle guy. You have Richard. You just call Richard. Hey, there's scuffs on my wall. Somebody did this. And somebody like Richard said, I'll get to the bottom of it. We'll get it taken care of for you.
Yep.
That's why it's so important to have a project manager, somebody that's managing the project, so you're not chasing down all of these contractors to find out if they did their job, did they show up on time, are you the one that poked a hole in my drywall, checks all the boxes.
We anticipate that.
Yeah, that happens.
That's calculated as part of the project.
Right.
So we'll do our best to keep everything neat throughout, but I would more than likely expect we'll be painting that hallway or
probably
that stair, you know, that stairwell.
My daughter actually had the countertop guy come and, you know, put in the largest piece of countertop material, and it was miscut.
Mm.
She had an island. Well, for an island, you don't go with the measurements of the furniture below it, right? The cabinet below it.
Mm-hmm.
You go with 4 inches extra.
Yeah,
right?
Overhang. Yep.
Somehow. This fella got in his head, it had to be this size, brought it in, and it didn't work as an island. You want to put your knees up underneath the island, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Straight out of there and, you know, had to do it again. These things do happen. So you want somebody in charge of it, not yourself.
We try and avoid those pitfalls. That's why we have 3D rendering.
Yes.
That's why we take the time to review all of the specifics with the client. So we are 100% on the same page when we decide to go forward.
Now, do you have a software that, let's say a homeowner wants you guys to come in and remodel their kitchen, remodel their bathroom, or just do a full attic renovation? You were talking about 3D rendering models.
Absolutely.
Are you able to build, this is what this space is going to look like when we're done with it. These are all the different options we can go through, and people can kind of go through and pick, ooh, I want this floor, I want these cabinets, I want this countertop. And you're able to kind of render what that would look like?
Absolutely.
Wow.
We've got folks that we work with that basically tell us that they're visually challenged and they need to see something. I mean, I myself, I've done this for so many years, I can virtually, through questions, understand what it is that they're looking for. And once I can actually connect to that, I'll start to detail it. And then the light bulb goes on. What we like to do is obviously minimize the amount of time doing renderings. But when we create something that's initial, we'll go through a few different iterations over time. So when the client selects their tile, when they select their countertops, when they select their cabinet colors, we can incorporate that. So if you had a herringbone finish backsplash, we can show that in that detail so that you can literally see what the finished product is going to look like.
Kind of visualize
as close, as close to possible.
Very nice.
Wow. And when you do these large renovation projects, the homeowner doesn't need to move out, or do they?
We typically work with the homeowners in the homes for the most part, dependent upon the size and scope of the project.
Right.
If we're going to be doing some structural stuff, we'll we've had these conversations before where I might recommend that they go out.
Yeah.
Go to do a small vacation, do an Airbnb for a week or two, and let us just have at the space, because it's going to be more cost effective to them to allow us just to power through the project versus having to clean up every day and, you know, make it their living environment again.
Right. The project my daughter went through involved everything, and the final step, well, just before bringing in the stove and refrigerator, was the floor. Mm. Now, are you putting down hardwood?
Oh, we're not seeing as much hardwood as we used to.
Okay.
But we are refinishing hardwoods, people that currently have them.
Yeah.
We've got a project coming up in Holly Springs where we're going to be expanding the back of a house.
Yeah.
And they have hardwoods in that, so we're going to tie into that, extend it. But we're going to resand the entire first floor and give them a brand new finish. I mean, this is going to feel like a brand new house.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
Are you getting primarily luxury vinyl? And you know, I would assume most customers are going the luxury vinyl direction.
We're seeing a lot of that.
Yeah.
And the product obviously has changed immensely over the years.
Sure. Yeah, it seems to be coming out with new products every 6 months.
And every 6 months, they're going harder and harder.
Yeah.
Because what they're doing is they're making the product
indestructible,
more resilient.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and just like, you know, you almost worry they're going to get too indestructible and they're going to start scaling back because then they're only ever installing once.
No, we're not going to design
in obsolescence.
I hope that's
not the case. Yeah, I hope that's not the case.
Yeah. You didn't hear Holly Bowers from Roofworks saying, well, we're really disappointed when we replace a roof. We don't have to come back in the next 25 years. She doesn't complain about that.
They do not.
All right. And your insulation never gets broken, you know, typically.
No, it doesn't get broken. Fiberglass deteriorates. But,
yeah,
when it comes to foam or radiant barrier, no, that's going to stay up as long as the house is standing.
What are the design elements that people are going for? I mean, when you're painting, are you getting questions about... Because everybody's new home right now is gray. Are people putting their houses in gray again?
There's some of that. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think colors are unique to the client.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can go with something quite neutral in a large space, but maybe do an accent wall. So we're seeing that as well. It really creates quite an impact.
Are you seeing more accent walls done with paint or now wallpaper? I hear that a lot of the higher-end wallpaper has got some interesting designs to it.
We're seeing both.
Both. Mm-hmm.
But again, wallpaper is unique to the client.
Right, 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 right.
Yeah, very
sometimes
unique.
I might not be very, like, let me get a photo of this room before you put that wallpaper.
Right.
Amen. The other thing, are people working with you because they're going to sell the home, or are they mostly working with you because they're going to live in the home?
Predominantly, they want to maintain their existence in the home. And I can't tell you how many times I've had people say, I can't buy my neighbors. The interest rates are what they are.
Yep.
They're never going to be able to move and equate to what it is that they currently have. So, you know, memories are made in these homes.
Right.
You know, grandchildren born and... You know, so many Thanksgivings having taken place in these residences, and it's like, well, we just want to make this new, different, freshen it up.
That makes sense.
And when your mortgage rate is in the threes or the twos,
absolutely,
nobody wants to go after that brand new 7% mortgage rate.
No, I do not.
Precisely.
Let's just put an addition on the home and say it's new. And
let's just say we're stuck here. We're stuck here. This is Making Your Home Great on WPTF.
This is Making Your Home Great on WPTF FM 92.9, AM 680, and WPTF.com. Remember, if you missed any of the portions of today's show, we archive all of our shows as podcasts available wherever you get your podcasts and on demand always at WPTF.com. Now back to our host, Dave Alexander.
Oddly enough, I missed portions of today's show. I just zone in and zone out here. Richard Nordheim is here from Enhanced Renovations. We're talking about the work he does. We're also going to take your phone calls. Number 919-860-9783. Fish fans, Cape Fear Seafood Company gift certificates could be yours, or one. A $25 gift certificate, and consider the chowder. It's all I'm saying. Consider the chowder. Even just get a cup. If you get a cup of chowder, you'll order the bowl next time. They are wonderful, and you just ask a question, and we'll get you that $25 gift certificate. 919-860-9783. 919-860-9783. I can't believe that there are people who've listened to us for years and who've never put that number in their phone. Put it in your phone. All right.
Love it.
Richard, talk to me about aging in place. What's my punch list for aging in place? What are the things I need to do?
What we're finding is so many folks that live in two-story homes are contemplating creating first-floor masters.
Oh, yeah.
So that seems to be quite prominent. We've done a project recently where we actually added a closet/laundry room off of what would be the new master.
Yeah.
Renovated the bathroom accordingly for wider doors.
Right.
So somebody, if they needed a walker or even a wheelchair, they could certainly have greater access to the bathroom. It's all across the board. I mean, we're seeing quite a few folks, even when we're doing bathrooms, yeah, that we will put additional framing in the walls. They might not necessarily want to have handles or safety bars and features, yeah, in there right now, but what we'll do is we'll frame for it so that you can literally find it anywhere in the wall. You don't have to search for a stud. So it makes things a little bit easier.
4 feet high or 3.5 feet high, you know that there's a cross member.
Absolutely.
And
right,
and you can just, you know, generally hit it. I actually had some people from a church come over, and they were doing some work in my house. They were building a ramp when I needed a wheelchair. And they also put in some handles. My house is not set up for that. Grab bars, it's not right, set up for that. But they seem to have found a stud. But, you know, those handles have three holes in them,
mm-hmm,
two of which don't hit a stud, one of which will. And it rocks back and forth. It's inappropriate.
Right. And then you're relying on a molly, which is basically just pulling on the back of the wall, the substrate.
Right. Right.
Yeah,
that's not.
Certainly not full advantage. So if we put a 2x12 or a 2x10,
yeah,
around the entire area where you know you're going to be incorporating some sort of grab bar at some point, you can,
right,
hit it at any time, anywhere.
That's right. Also have to widen out some space at the doorways. I mean, a standard 32-inch door is not going to work for me if I end up in a wheelchair again.
No, not at all. By code, 32 inches is the actual opening required by,
yeah,
ADA, but a 32-inch door is not going to get you that because of the stops and part of the frame. 36 is going to be the way to go. And now you're talking about possibly moving light switches and getting into structural framing. So you've got,
right,
a wider door. Now, what's the header above that? Are we going to open that up? Do we need engineering? Is this, how specific do we need to get,
right,
to protect you and your residents? It's not just something that we call good construction practice, and we're going to take it upon ourselves to do it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you just need a letter from an engineer. It might not require much of anything, but
mm-hmm,
it's best to actually rely on the professionals when you have them in your pocket.
Yeah. The whole idea of making an individual bathroom accessible to a wheelchair person might include changing out that vanity.
Oh, absolutely.
Moving the vanity. And, you know, it's not like you're looking for work necessarily in that bathroom to make it more complicated or to, you know, charge a customer more, but you know that people need to turn around in their wheelchairs.
Absolutely. We had one client several years back that unfortunately, on horrible circumstance, fell out of bed,
mm-hmm,
broke his neck, and became paralyzed. And
no kidding.
Yep. And we were commissioned to come in. They had a beautiful shower and they had a tub.
Yep.
We wound up opening up doorways. to be able to get in there with a wheelchair, because obviously this gentleman needed help being getting cleaned. We took the tub out and we created a zero entry shower area specific for him.
Yeah.
And again, just opened up the closet. We made it as accessible as possible. Cabinet was modified so that you could get the wheelchair up under it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you think about being in a wheelchair, stand at your vanity in the kitchen and imagine brushing your teeth from a sitting position. You're not close enough to the sink.
Right, right.
Unless you're leaning way forward, which people in wheelchairs don't like doing because they fall out of the wheelchair and that, you know, causes more trouble. Richard Nordheim is here from Enhanced Renovations. Our telephone number, 919-860-9783. And we've got a $25 gift certificate to Cape Fear Seafood Company. They use the freshest possible ingredients. Sometimes their fish in the kitchen are flopping. It's just, I mean, we're talking about fresh food. No, it's not. That's not true. I've never been in their kitchen. Richard, there's also the category of building of mother-in-law suites or additional tiny houses or smaller houses on the same piece of property. What was the term you used for those?
The acronym is ADU.
ADU.
Additional dwelling unit.
Okay. And depending on your neighborhood, you might easily get permission to do that. And what does that entail?
It could be called a tiny house, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, basically, it's just a smaller environment, maybe 500 square feet on average, which mm-hmm. would have a closet, kitchen, bathroom, sitting room. Mm-hmm. It could all be done basically as a studio, if you will.
Yeah.
We're currently working with a client, and as we were in the in-between section here, we were speaking of a project we're doing in Fuquay where we're going to be doing basically the entire inside of the house, remodeling three bathrooms, opening up walls, redoing the kitchen, and the folks are going to have to leave for approximately 6 months is what we gauge that to be.
Wow, yeah.
And in their scenario, they've got a dog, and to be able to find a place to stay, I think they were looking at virtually $30,000 to actually spend on a place to stay during that period of time. So what we did is we came up with the idea to put an ADU or an additional dwelling unit on the property, which will ultimately allow them to live again on the property. But when the project is complete, they'll have this really cool pool house.
Oh, yeah.
Family can come and visit. It's one of those things you'd probably be able to Airbnb. It's going to be rich. It's going to be rich.
And it's going to look nice.
It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be finished like in any ordinary dwelling. It's not like the, you know, I see these tiny houses being built by, you know, Joe and his wife, and it all looks like they've never swung a hammer before.
Yeah.
But you're going to make it too standard.
This is going to be architecturally gorgeous.
Yeah. Wow. That's a wonderful idea. And if we weren't going to turn it into a pool house, you know, it could be a mother-in-law suite.
Yep. When family comes to visit, it's going to be the place people are going to gravitate towards. They're going to be like, hey, I don't need to stay in the house. I can go have my own privacy and stay out in the yard.
I can stay up all night if I want.
You could do that, too.
Yeah. All right. That makes sense. Very cool. What other projects are you involved in?
Well, something just came to mind. We do quite a few additions. Some folks want to do a sunroom or a screen room.
Yeah.
And in all my years of having been involved in sunrooms and this kind of building, I try and be proactive. So if somebody has a deck that they want to build, one of the questions that I'll ask them is, would you ever consider putting a roof on this or putting a screen room on it, or would you be looking to potentially expand the house and encompass some of the space?
Yeah.
And the reason that I ask that is because we can frame for that deck or a portion of that deck to be considered substantial enough to be able to build on. So we'll upgrade the footers.
Yes.
We'll make sure that we've got the framing in place. folks today will say, hey, I want to put a sunroom on my deck. And the first thing I have to do is say, well, we're probably going to rip your deck off and have to build you a new deck, new foundation.
Yes.
And there's processes we have to go through to make sure that we can support this addition. So taking this one step further, if you would ever consider enclosing your deck, let's beef that up now and make sure that we're properly prepared going forward.
Right.
Then if you did want to put a screen room on it, let's put a screen room on it, but let's also now be conscientious of where the framing goes. So we're not just splitting the difference in the walls.
Yeah.
If you ever wanted to put windows in it, why don't we frame it so that your screen room can actually be converted into a sunroom someday?
Yes.
So it's this kind of proactive thinking I like to try and involve people in and let them know, what can we do now for a few pennies on the dollar that'll make a huge difference to your options down the road?
And typically, the porch does not have, the attached porch does not have near the foundation that the home should, right? I mean, I don't see any footers. I just see the wood going through to the ground on my side porch. There's no foundation there.
Yeah, that's another scenario that we come across.
Yeah.
Again, not knowing who built what when.
Oh, yeah.
So it can be quite eye-opening and surprising for all my years of remodeling.
Yeah.
It's very interesting to troubleshoot and try and contemplate what somebody was thinking when they built some of the things I've seen.
Like what? You mean like decks and things?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. My Facebook is filled with all sorts of photos of things that I've seen people do, and I'm just amazed.
All I can tell you, they were drinking beer at the time. they were doing it. If it was a do-it-yourself project, it was him and Larry and John from work.
Yep.
And the guy from accounting who couldn't even swing a hammer. But they all came around and they built this thing, and they're proud of it. So just remember that, Richard.
That's right.
They didn't build it right, but they're proud of it.
I'll have to look at them differently.
All right, Richard Nordheim of Enhanced Renovations. And that gift certificate could be yours if you dial 919-860-9783 on WPTF.
Thank you for listening to Making Your Home Great. If you have a question for any of our experts on the show today, call us at 919-860-9783. Now, back to Dave.
Making Your Home Great on WPTF. We've got Sue Allen on the line to join Richard Nordheim of Enhanced Renovations. Sue Allen, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much.
What is your question?
What I'm looking at is replacing my front door. Is that a project that this company would do? And how do I see the different doors and so on?
What do you think?
That's a great question. That's not something that we would typically do because it's probably a smaller project for us. There are folks that we could certainly put you in contact with. As far as looking at doors, there are many different places you can conceive of. Obviously, people can get them from Lowe's and Home Depot. You'll see a lot of that.
Uh-huh.
But there are other companies, door companies in Raleigh. I know some can be custom fabricated. You can go to any of the lumber supply companies. They have book upon book upon book of different types of doors, three-quarter glass, security doors. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I'm going to even recommend the Home Depot has in their door department, if you will. You can go sit down with them and take a look at different manufacturers and different doors. They've got catalog upon catalog. So, I mean, they can actually be bringing some of that stuff in as well. But any reputable builder or building supply company should be able to provide that.
And would you recommend, I have done a little bit of looking, but I'm a little bit confused about, okay, should it be a core, a solid? Do you have a recommendation for this area?
Yes. Well, what we find is that we want to go with doors nowadays. It costs a little bit more, but with the synthetic jams, so everything is basically PVC. The doors themselves can be fiberglass. The frames are PVC. You'll never, ever, ever have rot. What we are adamant about as well, and a lot of people are not aware of this, is what we call pan flashing. So in many a door might actually allow moisture to get into the framing of the home. What we do is we actually like to incorporate a pan flash before that door goes in. I've repaired way too many floors by taking the door out and finding that water had leached around. So by putting an additional protection in place up front, you can rest assured you're not going to have any issues with hardwoods or any mold, water damage, ant infestation, all of the above.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, thank you.
Sue, you have won a $25 gift certificate to Cape Fear Seafood Company. Cape Fear Seafood Company uses the freshest possible ingredients. They specialize in regional American seafood, signature dishes, hand-cut fish, steaks, chicken. They decided long ago not to put them in the blender. They hand-cut them. They do. They're in the Village District and Spring Forest in Raleigh and Rogers Brand Road in Wake Forest. You can go to CapeFearSeafood.com and look at the menu and then figure out what you're gonna get. Thank you, Sue.
And any location?
Oh, any location, yeah. They're all together.
Great. Thank you so much.
Take care. Okay, so let's talk about pan flashing. I really want to know about that. It's flashing. It's more than just the entryway. It's outside the door.
It goes underneath the door before the door is installed.
Underneath the door.
Mm-hmm.
You mean it's possible for somebody to install a door improperly?
I'm not going to speak to that. I repair things.
You repair things. Have you repaired some doors that have had this issue?
Yeah. Well, let's take, for example, down working at the beach. So Carolina Beach or Topsail, many of the homes down there all had in-swing doors. You know, obviously, with the exposure that the wind is going to rip pretty hard. You've got rain. The water would actually push in underneath the door. And I've seen it damage the floors. I mean, really swelling and causing quite a bit of damage to oak floors. And when we pull those doors out, the first thing we find is that there is no protection underneath. Mm-hmm. So we are now proactively, we're seeing, especially down at the coast, doors becoming outswing doors. Because when the wind and the rain blow against them, it actually push them tighter.
Right.
And they close that door, but most definitely anything we touch is going to be pan flashed because that's how we put our guarantee on it. We have a 5-year labor warranty that we offer for all of our work.
And what did you tell me about during the break, what did you tell me about your pricing? You put it on the web?
Yeah, on our website, we like to try and give folks an opportunity to understand what an investment in their project might actually entail. So we have a calculator and we've got other projects that we've done that basically call out how much was invested by that client for that type of a project. And of course it's arbitrary. Everybody's job is different, but at least it helps give people a notion. Too often you'll see websites or people will say, you know, call for a quote. Well, you know, why would I want to be inconvenienced or have to go through this big process to just get a quote when you can get something quite relative immediately?
Yes. You know, there are some times when the question comes up, you know, what kind of renovation should I invest in? And really the answer is one you can afford.
Of course.
Like if you're not ready to do a bathroom, just wait a little bit, you know, and put some money away. Because you know it's going to be a big project. There are some people who undercut you. There's some folks who tell you they can do your bathroom in or your shower in a day. And that's such a fantasy. It's a fantasy because we don't know what's beyond, what's underneath your shower installation or your bathtub. You know, there could be rot down there. Well, it's not going to take a day. And if we try to take a day and do it, that's the wrong way to do it.
Absolutely. Proper planning has to go into every project. And you have to anticipate things, because when you do this all day, every day, you know what you're looking for. You know what pitfalls you're going to continuously run into.
I should have asked you at the beginning of the show, how did you get into this? And how long have you been doing it?
Interesting. Since the early 80s, so I just dated myself. I was involved in quite a few different building trades. So, for example, I started with doing bathrooms. I worked with a company that would tear out a bathroom and do the whole thing back in a week. We would take it down to the studs, the drywall. Yeah. Everything was gone. The tub was gone. We would do the tub, the shower, the tile work. We actually built the vanities in the shop and installed them. We did the lighting, the electrical, the spackle, the paint. I mean, soup to nuts.
Yeah.
And what was interesting about that, of course, it was all these different facets. So you could, it was enjoyable to see how everything came together. You know, I guess I was always the kind of person that, I guess when I was a kid, I would stick things in the light socket. I was always one to take things apart, figure out how they would work. And this was just another facet of that.
Now, I am going to say that you no longer put things into the electrical sockets. You don't stick a fork in there.
Nope. It may be what I am today.
That's good. That's great. Richard Nordheim, Enhanced Renovations. Please tell me how to get in touch with you.
Best way is going to be internet.
Yeah.
Website, enhancedrenovations.com. We've got a fantastic website we're quite proud of. Love to have everybody come take a look at us and see how we might be able to help.
Thank you, Richard. We'll be back next week with another episode of Making Your Home Great.